From the largest city in the most geriatric state, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
From the frozen wasteland of East Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman.
From the front lines of the fight to legalize marijuana in Long Beach with my daughter sitting next to me, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From the top secret roundabout studios in the Motor City, I'm producer Ben Sanders.
And I'm the master of various verbosity in Livonia, Michigan, Craig Cole.
This is Roundabout.
I was very convinced.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 21, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like brand new 21-year-olds, we hit up the clubs and dive bars of the internet to celebrate our freedom. Before blacking out in a stranger's rose bushes, we might find a few interesting things to talk about, or maybe even a cohesive, zen-like theme. On the road to incapacitation, we'll ride in a sidecar through Manhattan to grab a Long Island iced tea. But we'll have to watch out for Irish car bombs. Relations between black Russians and white Russians have been on the rocks. If we can dodge the hail of 9mm and avoid ending up like JFK, we might be able to get some old-fashioned advice from three wise men. Thank God birthdays and podcasts only come once in a blue moon. What starts out like sex on the beach ends like an apocalypse with four horsemen. So there you go.
My eyes have irreversibly rolled back in my head.
I was waiting for that, Zach.
Is JFK a drink?
Yes.
And 9mm?
Yes.
I've never heard of either.
So now we know what Craig spends all his time doing when he's not watching TV. He's just drinking himself into a stupor. That's what's going on.
I drink to kill the pain, Zach, all right?
Oh, well, there you go.
It's the only thing that makes it go away. Just wash my problems away. But that was a pretty good analogy, I would say, for this week's episode of Roundabout. It's our 21st episode, and, you know, 21st birthday is a pretty important event here in the United States. Wouldn't you agree, Michelle? You like drinking.
Why, thanks, Craig.
Yes.
Yeah, 21. I think that people should be allowed to drink at 18 and not drive until they're 21, actually.
That would probably be good advice. Good stance. People are crazy behind the wheel. And drinking's fun, so, you know, why not?
True.
I would personally love to do one of those Dateline shows where they get you drunk and then put you on a road course.
Oh, yeah. That would be hilarious.
I would love that.
It'd have to be a huge SUV, though.
It'd become a game of how many cones can you hit rather than, you know, stay between the lines. Could you imagine, like, autocrossing or something? After doing half a dozen shots?
If I was filthy rich, I would organize that. Absolutely.
The drunken autocross? How bad would that be? That'd be awful.
And everybody would have to drive Toyota Camrys.
That would...
There's no slowing down.
Pedals to the floor.
Just the premise of that is so wrong. It's like encouraging drunk driving.
I'm telling you, we should do our Mario Kart hammered.
Yeah,
that's optional.
Drinks are optional.
We're not going to rule it out.
Yeah. So yeah, 21. Not many podcasts make it this far, you know. It's a pretty important milestone for us here.
That's what my dad said about me, ironically.
You survived 21 years.
I guess it's time for us to get a real job.
Kids are growing up so fast. So I hope you guys are ready for a power hour, because that's what we're bringing here. I say this every week, but it gets better and better here. We've got an all-star lineup of stories, and we're going to get to those in a second. But first, I've got to ask you guys, what are your favorite drinks? You guys have any? Zach, why don't we start with you?
I'm talking like mixed drinks or beers?
Anything. Beer, mixed drink, whatever. What are your favorites? If we're at a bar and I'm going to get you something, you're the man of the hour, what am I ordering for you?
Yeah, pretty much any good dark beer I'm a fan of. I'm not a huge fan of Guinness, but I like you know, I've mentioned it many times. The Troganator, Trogs Brewery Troganator, is a favorite. Mm-hmm. And if you're gonna be buying a mixed drink, I like a Fireman's Iced Tea. So there you go.
All right, there you go. Terminator, Fireman Hose. It's a great choices. Michelle.
You know, it's kind of funny, but when I lived in the UK, I got this. I love Shandy's. I know that sounds really disgusting for somebody that enjoys beer, but it's half, you know, basically fizzy lemonade, which is kind of like 7-Up, and half lager. And I like that.
Oh, that's like a German Radler.
Is a German Radler?
Well, that I think it's a Berlin specialty, if I remember correctly. They mix like half fruit juice and half beer. And I ordered one by mistake when I was over there on vacation. It was gross.
It's good. I mean, I like some really nice dark beers. Like, you know, there's a place here that has these like little handmade ales that are, you know, made by Belgian monks, and they're unfiltered and they're delicious and they taste like dessert. I love those things.
Wow, but Belgian beers. And okay, so you like that whatever beer it is. What about mixed drinks, Michelle? You like anything in particular?
You weren't even listening.
No, I ignored
whatever
him.
Beer.
He doesn't listen to any of us. You know?
What's
he
that, Zach?
He just waits for us to stop talking.
In the script, it says Craig listens for 10 to 15 seconds.
Then sallies forth regardless.
Why do I put myself through this every week? It's emotional. That's why I drink so much, putting up with you guys. So, Jeffrey, what are your picks then?
It would depend on my mood.
Okay.
Most of the time, simple Jack and Coke.
Okay.
Or SoCo and Lime.
All right.
When I'm up in Michigan, I like to drink Oberon beer. And if we go to Canada, I'm all about the Strongbow.
And you do like the mojitos, don't forget.
Oh, the mojitos. That's only when I'm in South Beach, though.
Okay. And Audi is paying for them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You had like my 6 or 8 of those when we were on that trip.
Mm. My favorite words in the world. Just charge it to us.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll have the $110 steak, please.
He's not joking either. Well, the one we were going to order, what was it? The Neiman aged steak? Wasn't that like 120?
Yeah. No, we tried ordering the over $100 steak, but then we had to get the $80 steak because they're out.
You had to suffer through the $80 steak.
So, Jeff, how'd you like your last press trip?
It was all right.
His last operative word, last.
Final.
Yes.
No, other people. We actually tried going cheap. It was not a cheap restaurant. Nothing in South Beach is cheap.
I'll have the croutons, please.
Although $40.
I try to be very respectful when I'm on press trips. Like, yeah. I know a lot of people, they take things out of the hotel room, but...
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to one... I was on a Volvo trip once, and we were staying at this spa, right? And I was talking to one of the older guys there, and he was like, you know, if the massages were a little more expensive, I'd probably partake. But since it's only like $40, it's probably not worth my time. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? It's unreal how entitled some of these guys are.
Oh, they can be bastards.
It's pretty bizarre.
They'll like scam stuff, steal it from the rooms, and.
But it's not even scamming. They just think this is my. I'm entitled to this. Yeah. I'm going to take it.
Yep, it's here. It's mine, and. Screw whoever's paying for it.
Yeah. It's not like we don't have one of the easiest jobs on the planet, you know? I mean, at that point, you're flying around, eating on someone else's dime, staying on someone else's dime, and riding about a car. Mm-hmm. You're not saving anyone's life. You're not cutting on anyone, anything like that. You don't deserve anything, you know?
You barely deserve a paycheck.
But you know what? That's so it's pervasive in like every single industry. When I worked in the entertainment industry, you'd be on location and there'd be like these, you know, these grips, these like hairy guys, with their, you know, and they would, you know, you'd go to a restaurant and you'd see them like scanning down, not what was up for offer, but on the right hand side of the menu with their finger like, ooh, lobster, you know, and just trying to pick like the most expensive thing. And then people wonder why, you know, the economy's like a mess.
Well, I was once told that it costs $1,000 for the cars to be in the press fleet. Like each time they bring you a car, it's $1,000.
Jeez.
And then one time, I think it was the Ford Flex trip. I tried like tabulating how much it would cost a normal person, and it was like close to $5,000 per person.
Unreal.
Yeah. Yep.
It's, I mean, because they take you just extravagant places and then just order whatever.
You know what? Yeah, maybe I might be alone in this, but I would be perfectly happy staying in a Holiday Inn and eating dinner at Applebee's. That'd be fine.
Yeah, I mean,
for
that's your idea of a first date.
Minus the Holiday Inn.
Yes, because that would never happen.
That's right.
Craig isn't smooth like that.
I mean, obviously, you're there to drive the freaking car, and anybody who thinks that they can maintain any sort of journalistic credibility by going on these trips and not paying for it is out of their freaking mind, you know? I mean, anytime a company is – they're buying you. That's essentially what's happening. I'm saying that wearing an Audi sweatshirt that they gave. So
they're wooing you.
I'm saying that looking at all these little models Ford's given me.
You know, I don't know. Yeah. It was especially a big shock coming from the newspaper industry. I mean, my first editor told me never to take a bottle of water or a pen from anyone. I got chewed out for taking a pen from the hospital. Like, they gave me one that said, you know, Page Memorial Hospital.
St. Jude.
It was pretty funny.
But look, you just plugged the hospital. So it works.
I did. Never go there, by the way. It's a tiny sauce hole in the wall. Anyway.
Oh. Well, what do you guys think about actually starting the show now?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Since we were talking, since the theme this week is 21 or drunkenness or alcoholism, whatever you want. But we've picked a bunch of stories that fit that quite nicely, I think. So the first one up, Michelle, I believe you found this one and tagged it in Delicious. It comes to us courtesy of WMUR, I guess Channel 9 News in New Hampshire. And this one I just can't believe.
Right. Are we going to put the video up of this one? I mean, it's so ridiculous. Maybe New Hampshire is just a little bit more backwards. I cannot see this happening in California, but she got charged with 3 DWIs in 1 week.
So repeat that, Michelle, please.
She had 3 DWIs in 1 week. I mean, how'd that happen?
3 DUIs in 1 week.
Yeah.
Or WI, whatever that means.
DWI. Well, driving while intoxicated. Driving under the influence.
I'm glad you guys
thing,
know all
they?
Of these because I don't.
You know what's funny is I actually – somebody explained the difference to me the other day but from state to state, and there is actually some sort of difference, but I don't remember what it was they told me.
It's a pretty lady.
I'm fairly certain DWI is a lesser charge than a DUI, at least in Virginia. I'm pretty sure that's the way it is. But – well, you know, you're having a bad week, and you know, you get popped by the cops, and it gets worse, you know. So you keep drinking, and you get popped by the cops again. And you just continue to drink, you know.
Well, you're depressed from the first time they caught you.
We've all been there, right?
No. Right. No.
I mean, in California with the 3 strikes law, she would be in jail for life. She's looking at something
life?
Like a 1500. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
3 strikes law. I mean, she's looking at a $1,500 charge for these 3.
That's it?
Yeah, and losing her driver's license for a year and a half.
That's about
$1,500. That's 1 DUI here in Florida.
Yeah. Virginia, buddy, they will nail your tail to the wall for that stuff. Wow.
3 accidents in 1 week. That is just incredible. If it weren't a news story, I wouldn't believe that was even possible. And going over the article, it says She was involved in 3 accidents, and one of them was serious. Police said...
Hick is only some... Yeah.
Yeah.
The best part is she's ordered not to drink and drive as part of the charges and the bail, but no one's allowed to drink and drive anyway, so right. how do you order someone not to drink and drive something that's already illegal?
You just slap them on the
face.
That's like saying you're not allowed to kill anybody.
It's New Hampshire.
Now we're serious about it, guys.
She wore a neck brace at her arraignment because she was injured in the crash on Friday.
That was the serious
part. Ha ha. She's hurt.
She's hurt.
I want to see a Lifetime movie about this lady.
Brought to
you know
by
what this
Lifetime
reminds me of?
Television there was for this, women.
When I lived in Wales, there was this older woman who was in her mid-70s who was... She was actually this old lesbian who'd been married to the first Sea Lord, who's like the head of the Navy. I know, you almost need to play Zach's music for this one. She was this old lesbian artist whose husband had died years before, and she lived in the country with her little Jack Russell Bertie, who used to walk her dog by putting him out in front of her car, and he would run in front of the car and she would drive behind it. And one time she actually said to me at a dinner party, "This drink driving law is killing country life." She couldn't stand that they were starting to enforce people from going to the pub and driving home, you know, letting their dogs drive them home.
Jeez.
That's hilarious.
Or tragically sad. I don't know which.
I know. She drank a fifth of whiskey and smoked a bunch of Virginia Goldens and blew a hole in her heart and died a happy woman, so...
Well, that's a feel-good story, Michelle. I just drink hard liquor till my heart valves explode, and then, golly gee, that'll
be
a great time.
Well done.
Let that be a lesson, Craig.
All right. And I thought, well, yeah, okay. Oh, but the prosecutor said... That's prosecuting her, said, "This is a situation where the defendant presents an extreme hazard to herself and the community." Really? You
yes.
think? And it looks like the second incident, the second DWI was not even 24 hours after her first.
She's probably still drunk getting out of jail and drove home.
Probably.
You know what's scary? She's a hospital employee.
Well, I mean, that could be like janitor or sheet changer, you know? Doesn't mean she's
bedpan catheter changer.
pen giver outer.
Yeah.
Today on Cath Chat with Michelle Naranjo.
Yep.
Never gets old.
That was a sound effect, all right. So, okay, enough of a drunken woman. Let's change gears here and go to how about a drunken man?
A drunken football player, nonetheless.
Exactly. And Jeff,
you went from me to Jeff, and that's how you introduce it?
What did I do wrong?
Anyways, Cincinnati Bengals linebacker Ray Maualuga. The best part of the story wasn't that he was drinking and driving, is that he was doing it in his 2003 Pontiac. And... last time I checked, there was really nothing cool from Pontiac in 2003.
What do you mean, the Grand Am? That was pretty...
the Aztec.
That was a car
well,
they made.
Well, let's slow down a second here. I mean, we've got to take this in context. I mean, he plays for the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, the Grand Am is a pretty nice car if you live in Cincinnati. Let's be
but
honest.
But even the league minimum pay for a football player is like $250,000 a year.
He's got bills.
He's got baby mama.
Yeah.
And alcohol to buy, evidently. And we lived in Florence, Kentucky, which I don't know if you've ever driven south on I-75 from Michigan or north mm-hmm. from Jacksonville. I'm sure you've seen the Florence, y'all, water tower. We lived there for about 2 years, and it was the darkest 2 years in my family's life. It was not a good time. Cincinnati is not a good place. Like, period. It's just... people are mean, and it rains a lot.
It's not Friendly Natty is its nickname or something. It's
No. Pretty, and it's just not good. Not good.
Okay.
You know, the thing is, you guys, you have to remember, this guy was 23 years old. and he was driving a 7-year-old car. So it must have been his mother's car.
This is true.
Well, the one thing that doesn't surprise me about the story is that he went to Southern Cal.
Sure. So what happened here? He was in Kentucky, and he hit a parking meter and two parked cars.
That's when you know you're drunk, when you're hitting parked and immovable objects.
Well, you know, it's probably better than him running over a stroller or something.
You know, that's why those cars are there.
A stroller moves. Cars don't move.
Yes,
like,
but
when they're just
strollers typically have babies in them. You know, so that's a good thing that he took it on the curb. You know, he was probably going too fast or something. He's like, I can't slow down, so I'll just kiss these cars here gently, and that'll help slow me down. And that's when the accident.
It was a pelican.
Like a pelican.
Too bad it wasn't a 2003 Toyota Camry for this story.
That's right. He could have just blamed it on that. Oh, these pedals.
Officer, my accelerator pedal is stuck.
Another thing, you know, if you're a linebacker, can't you just pay someone to come pick you up? You know,
that's what I say about all athletes that do this stuff.
If you are that trashed, I mean, really? I mean, what's your deal there? Do you just think you're invulnerable or what?
Yeah, they're probably dumb. I don't know. Not to make a generalization, but he probably didn't go to Southern Cal for his grades.
I love this picture of the guy, too. Yes, DUI. He's got the, you know, the fist
I think it's
pump
Kurt
action.
Warner.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
That's an old picture of Kurt Warner.
Talk about bad freaking art. What's going on here?
Yeah, I don't understand. I didn't know what that had to do with anything.
What doesn't it have to do with anything? Wait, that doesn't make any sense either.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
By the way, Mr. Stewart in the chat room takes offense because he drives a 98 Grand Am and it is his car.
Well, he just says, I'm not at all proud of it. I'm just mentioning.
Yes, but it's not his mother's car.
No, it's not. It's full. It's his car, from what I understand.
I'd still like to think that he was driving an Aztec.
In a perfect world.
What would Jimmy Stewart
drive that thing?
If he were alive today? Any guesses, guys, as to what Jimmy, his automotive taste would be?
93 Taurus.
No,
he's a celebrity. He's going to be at least in a town car, Michelle.
Yeah, no.
Classy.
I agree with Mud Monster, a Buick LaCrosse.
I'll say Jaguar of some kind, maybe an XJ.
I think he's more down to earth than that.
Oh, me too.
I think he would pick himself up like a used Chevy Impala from Enterprise. He's thrifty. But he knows good styling when he sees it. So
he goes to the Impala?
Yeah. It's clean. It's elegant.
You're drunk.
Is this what you, like, tell yourself as you're falling asleep at night? Like,
the Impala is such a nice car.
It's a beautiful car.
Roof positive GM's putting something in the water in Detroit.
Probably arsenic or something.
Yeah.
Hey, did anyone hear about the bat-wielding man that trashes police cars?
Hey, was that a segue?
Yes.
Well, our next story involves something that you would probably do when you're drunk.
Whoa, what do you know?
Shucks. So this story comes to us courtesy of the HeraldTribune.com, which I guess is out of Sarasota, Florida. And the story goes like this. A man basically trashed half a dozen cop cars down in Florida. And the funniest thing about this story, I think, is that it happened in Manatee County. Manatee. There's a county, Manatee.
Well, there's manatees down here.
Well, they're fucking retarded animals.
Wow.
They're endangered.
I don't care. They just float around and get hit by boat propellers. I mean, that's it.
Hey, it's the ocean speed bump.
I have to disagree with you, Craig. I think the best part about this story is this guy's name. Axel Lopez Troches. this guy was born to demolish cop cars.
And he's only 17.
His mom was a Guns N' Roses fan.
17. Just Lopez a little whippersnapper. Troches. Wet behind the ears.
Possibly the best name I've ever come across. So,
yes. It could be. It said that on Monday he smashed out windshields and just caused all kinds of trouble.
And spotlights.
And spotlights. Those are not cheap to replace.
Those things are cool. That's my favorite part of a cop car.
That's the giveaway.
If you
when I'm riding in one, I just like to play with them. And
but
shine
if you're in the back seat, you can't play with them.
No. Like when I ride along with cops.
Yeah.
Jeffrey wants to be a cop car when he grows up.
A cop car?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say dries out. I was like, well.
No way. It involves too much running being a cop.
Few things are as terrifying as getting caught in one of those spotlights. I'll be honest with you.
Well, whenever they pull you over, they make sure they shine that thing right in your mirror.
That's right. So you have no idea what's coming at your ass.
Yep.
I guess that's the point.
Yeah, it's all intimidation. It's a mind game. And then they write you a ticket.
For mischief.
For mischief, yep.
Felony criminal mischief.
That's a real charge.
Oh, you scamp.
Little scamp smashing hey,
you
it all.
You run along now. No more mischief from you. You're crazy. Oh.
That sounds like an oxymoron.
Ben's been drinking, yeah. Too. All the, hiding the empty bottles under his desk again. I think he likes gin. Don't you like gin, Ben?
No.
Yeah, well, that's great.
No one likes
it. It's just like liquid pine needles.
They just keep making it to spite humanity.
Think so. Pour yourself a big old glass of Dutch courage, Ben. You've earned it after a hard day at the office.
You'd need a big glass of Dutch courage to drive a car manufactured in Iran.
Well, you're jumping the gun there a little bit, Jack. I think you'd need a big old glass of Dutch courage to come up with this idea.
From Australia.
I know. Crazy Aussies, you know, they're working on this story. This story comes to us courtesy of Wards. And
Cursey
Awards.
Cursey Awards in America.
America. I've been talking to Zach too much. His accent's wearing off on me.
Whoa.
Oh. What's that, Zach?
I'm getting some personal blows in tonight.
Ouch. Mm-hmm. Below the belt.
First time in Craig's life.
Blood. Yep. All right. So researchers at the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology University, apparently that's a real place, say that they're using a natural biopolymer that occurs in the shells of crustaceans like crabs and shrimp, and they're using that material, biopolymer, to help vehicle fabrics resist staining and odors. Think about that.
Done thinking yet?
You done thinking? Yeah. I haven't thought of it yet, so that's why I'm asking you guys. I need a little participation here.
There's got to be a joke here about Paris Hilton. Crabs and odors.
Yeah, we got it.
Oh, I was waiting for that. So, Michelle, have you ever thought of using natural biopolymers to resist staining?
I'm so glad you didn't go with odors right there.
Oh,
I'm taking the fifth on this one.
All right, well, I mean, usually...
Well, no, it makes sense. I mean, there's orange
does
flavors,
it? Really?
Right? Well, no, I mean, there's orange, you know, there's all sorts of natural products, right, that you know, they're raping the sea and the forest for to try to, you know, improve things in a natural way so they can say it's natural products, so.
But who'd have thunk that you could take the husk of a crab and use that to, you know, block odor or use it like Febreze or something. You know, that is innovation right there. I don't care who you are.
Well,
that's thinking outside the box.
Someone had too much fun
cattle.
Money.
What's that, Joffrey?
Someone had too much funding
for research. I think you're right. Or they were drinking, maybe. to come up with this idea.
Well, what else do they use those shells for? I mean, like, I assume that usually that stuff just gets thrown out, right?
I would assume, too. I don't... I love crab legs and seafood and whatnot, but I never have come across a use for the shells. Ben, you're quite the foodophile. Any use for crustacean husks like that?
I always save my shrimp shells to make shrimp stock.
Oh.
For batches of gumbo.
Well, there you go.
So there you go.
Do they make good stocking stuffers? Shrimp shells?
Depends who you're giving them to.
Well, would your brother like a big heap of those?
No.
On Christmas morning? No, why not?
He doesn't cook.
Oh. All right.
My dogs like to eat shrimp tails.
Okay. Pretty sure.
I knew a kid in high school who did that.
Eight shrimp shells?
Mm-hmm.
I imagine they've got some sort of fiber or something. But natural biopolymers.
Chitosan, right?
Yeah,
isn't that chitosan. The stuff?
Exactly.
Helps you lose weight or something? Oily discharge, something like that?
It's like Ally. Make sure you wear dark pants. Might have a little leakage there, if you know what I mean.
But you know what this reminds me of, actually, is GM employee, one of our fans of the podcast.
Yes. Oh,
was
you're
talking
very loyal
this week. Yes, and he was speaking this week on Twitter to someone in Australia, because he's in Australia right now, about the upper-end BMWs in Australia have buffalo instead of cow leather, because the sun makes cow leather turn to cardboard there.
It really turns into cardboard? How?
Apparently it gets really, really tough and hard, and so... the higher end cars in Australia are made with buffalo leather, which I find really fascinating.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So that's what was in the Pontiac G8.
Ben, do you have how do you find your leather is staying nice and supple?
Roughly.
But wait, we're talking Detroit sun or Australian sun?
I'm just trying to involve Ben in the conversation.
Lost cause, Craig.
Yeah,
lost
know.
Cause.
I know. So these crafty Australians down in Melbourne, it looks like they've been working with combining this chitosan, that natural biopolymer, with fragrance oils to... and then applying that to fabrics. And they say it has excellent antimicrobial properties, as well as it holds the fragrances very well. So who would have thought that something stinky like old crab shells could actually be useful like that? I would never have guessed.
The real shame here is that they discovered this after the death of Billy Mays. Can you imagine him on late night TV?
Billy Mays here with the power of crab.
Exactly.
I for some reason it seems logical that this product would come in a spray, but wouldn't it be funnier if it was a giant glue stick? You smear it on everything.
I was envisioning paste, you know.
Well,
like some peach colored paste.
Well, you got this. It's a giant glue stick with a crank applicator, and you just rub it on your fabric and. Billy Mays here for crabby seats or something.
We need to have Billy Mays on the program.
Ooh,
he needs
yeah.
to do an ad for us.
He does. He
that
does.
Would be fantastic.
Yeah. Mr. Stewart, we're
do
looking
you
at you.
Do you guys know why flamingos are pink?
Because they eat shrimp?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
How crazy is that?
That's crazy.
That makes me blow your mind.
Made them eat something else if they'd change color.
What if they ate beef jerky, what would happen? What would they look like, I wonder?
White and black spots.
Nobody should eat beef jerky.
Whoa. Nobody can say
that.
You can't just say people can't eat beef jerky.
Jeff
can't.
Is a vegan. You didn't know that?
You're a vegan?
No.
We were just talking about Kobe beef. And no.
I love jerky, him. Like venison jerky, but... beef jerky. Maybe it's just the cheap stuff I always see in the supermarket.
See, we make, just
make your own.
We make our own beef jerky.
Ben made his own beef jerky.
It's mighty
send
fun.
Some to me.
I might
Ben,
be able to do that.
Regale us with the recipe.
take 1 cup of soy sauce, 3 tablespoons liquid smoke, 1 teaspoon honey. Someone interrupt me, please.
And you give it to a New York City cab driver to sit on for a month. That tenderizes it. Really nice under those wooden seat covers with the little balls.
I always use Worcestershire sauce.
That is the hardest word to say.
It is. It's the worst. You just have to, like, cruise through it.
You know what? The English do that on purpose, though. It's Worcester. It's Worcester. And they do that, like, the name St. John in the UK is pronounced St. John. And I swear they just do those things so that they can laugh at Americans.
Probably.
Well, we laugh at them and their teeth.
It's true.
Have they not discovered toothbrush technology yet? Has that not crossed the Atlantic?
They're too busy coming up with words that we can't pronounce.
Yeah.
They stay up late coming up with those words and then like, oh, I forgot to brush my teeth. I'm just going to bed.
Let me eat this box of chocolate before I go to bed.
Let me just smear this chocolate in my mouth before I go to bed. That'll do it.
You protect my molars.
Here's some shrimp sauce. That should work.
And wear tights. They like to wear tights, too.
Are you sure they still like to wear tights, Michelle? I'm sure, because you were there many years ago, weren't you?
Like it was 60s? The Shakespearean era.
Well, they were wearing tight tights in that. I watched a recent movie about them, Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Tight tights.
That's a documentary, right?
Yeah. It is. Made in 2004, I believe.
Do you know Praying Mantis?
Hmm? What were we talking about again?
It's above
shrimp.
No, it was jerky.
Oh, yeah.
So Ben shared his recipe. Zach, how do you make jerky?
We do it with Worcester sauce. No, we don't use soy sauce.
Do you like hang it from the clothesline to like get it to dry or something? Is that
you got a dehydrator somewhere in the basement. I have to find it.
Right next to the gin.
And the yogurt That's maker.
Right. And the yogurt maker.
Oh, there's a joke there.
Yeah. So, our next story, Zach.
Cruising along. Yeah.
You'll have to be drunk to drive one of these.
So, the Iran Kodro Company, or ICCO, is...
<He's> not...
Somebody likes Iran ICCO Company.
At first, I thought that was a sound effect from Ben, and I was like, what is that supposed to signify?
That was May saying hi.
Hi, May.
But evidently, they're planning on building cars to mass produce and sell to the world, and the first one will be a little diesel passenger car that is supposed to get pretty good fuel economy.
According to the article from Press TV... this is their first diesel passenger car engine. I can't believe they're trying to enrich uranium to make a nuclear weapon and they haven't made a diesel engine yet. That's interesting.
Aiming for the stars, Craig.
But you think there's a logical progression. You step up from the horse-drawn carriage to the train to cars and then up to
a bomb. I don't think it's the Iranian government that's trying to make a diesel engine. I think it's a company in Iran.
Well, I don't know. They're all the same, aren't they? And they claim it's going to meet Euro 5 emissions standards with consumption of 5 liters per 100 kilometers.
So what is that in American?
Well, let me pull up my convenient...
American.
American. This is America.
American.
5 liters per 100 kilometers is 47 miles per gallon, roughly.
That's pretty snappy.
Pretty gosh diddly darn good right there. I wouldn't turn that down.
And how powerful is a 90 kilowatt engine?
Well, now you're asking too much. I don't know.
I'll get it.
All right.
I think I found the link to the 21 and drinking here on the... latest news on the right-hand side, it says, in Eurozone, 10% of workers are unemployed. That's a lot of people in the pub.
Yeah. I guess.
Sorry, I had to fill the awkward void with something.
It's 120 horsepower.
Hey.
It's pretty good.
It's 120 horsepower. Blow the axles out. It's all that power there.
I mean, 120 horsepower and 47 miles to the gallon. You know what? That's better than the CRZ.
Not surprised. A lot's better than the CRZ, Zach. We went over this the other week.
I'm bringing it to the people.
All right.
It should be the horsepower. With diesel engines, everyone's always worried about the torque. They should have announced that instead of the horsepower.
Yeah, well, they're Iranian. They haven't learned all the ropes yet, you know. Michelle, would you drive an Iranian car?
We are batting 1,000 tonight, I'll be honest.
Would you, Craig?
Would I? Well, if it had the right blend of style and performance, safety and comfort, then yes, I would definitely consider one.
I think we could assemble a manual to hosting a podcast like Craig Cole. And one of the rules would be, ask Michelle, what do you think about X?
I know, right?
I think everybody's been caught in those crosshairs at least once.
Well, Ben,
how do you make beef jerky? Tell me right now.
Pardon me for trying to have a conversation. There's a give and take.
Beef.
Nobody asks me any questions.
Jerky. Hey, Craig.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm okay. Not drunk enough, but you know, whatever. I'm fine. How are you, Jeff?
Not too bad.
All right.
Mud Monster says he's going to start assembling a Craig Cole manual.
Well, good luck with that. I couldn't even write one, and I'm him.
You better be bound in buffalo hide.
Buffalo hide. Yeah. So okay, this story's dead. Then I think we can. I think it's time we take a quick break. Lord knows you guys have earned it.
Thank God.
When we come back, we'll... Fuck you, Ben. Honestly. Do you have to be a dickhole all the time?
Well, geez.
Why can Craig curse and I can't? Somebody explain that to me.
Do you guys remember that show, DuckTales?
Yes, yeah, from 100 years ago.
Craig remembered something.
Ding, ding, ding. There it is.
Craig Cole's Pop Culture Moment.
I got it. That's all me right there. So, yeah, we remember it. What's your point?
I was just trying to say let's go to commercial break.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, that just... When we come back, we'll check our blind spot for the story of the week. Plus, we've got another stupid car trick video to share. Again, all that and a whole lot more is coming right up after the following message from our sponsors. Also, if you're watching live, don't open another tab in Firefox. And if you're listening to the MP3 version, don't fast forward. We will be back so soon you won't even know we were gone, and that is a promise.
Today's broadcast of Roundabout is brought to you in part by the Historical Baked Goods Preservation Society and Trust, preserving historically significant baked goods and pastries for future generations. For more information about exhibits and showtimes, visit us on the cyberweb at http://www.hbgps.org/home.html.
Here at Roundabout, we're proud to have the Historical Baked Goods Preservation Society and Trust on board as a sponsor. And more than their cold hard cash, we appreciate their efforts to protect historically significant food products for future generations. Really, when you think about it, they're preserving history, and it's living history, and that is pretty cool. Zach, did you know they just acquired a scone that they believe was baked by Harriet Tubman?
I know now.
Oh. Well, when their traveling exhibition comes by Knoxville, you should check it out.
I will.
Will you? Will you give us a full report on that, too?
I love scones.
They have some English muffins they think were baked by Molly Pitcher as well.
I don't know.
And
if
a fruit
that
plan that they think is... They can't confirm this one now, but they think it was from King Solomon.
I also hear they're pursuing a sweaty ball from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, I haven't heard that one. I haven't heard that
we
one.
Know.
Yeah. And with that, I think it's time to move on to our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed or are underreported or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. Now, this story comes courtesy of the San Francisco Chronicle. When I saw it, I was chuckling. Now, it doesn't particularly fit our theme, but that's okay. We're flexible here at Roundabout. But it does involve cars, so that's a good thing. Apparently in San Francisco or somewhere over there, Michelle, maybe you know, you live on the West Coast.
Glendale is actually in it's just north of me, about 25 miles.
Oh, well, you've probably heard about this story then, haven't you?
No.
Okay, we'll take it away. Fine, I'll do it.
Wait, there's a chicken dodging cars?
A chicken has been darting out in front of cars, playing chicken with cars, if you will, for apparently 2 months, and they haven't been able to catch it. So there you go. They've set out traps, and either the bird is not interested in the bait that they've put in the traps, or it's not heavy enough to trigger it. But no luck catching the bird. Zach, what's your opinion?
I'm surprised they didn't bring up the question, why did the chicken cross the road?
Oh, that's clever.
That was the witty writer.
Too obvious.
You know, their lead is
a chicken playing chicken?
Question mark.
You should never start a.
That's right. Ever.
But I guess why did the chicken cross the road is a question.
That's very true. So yeah, have you guys ever had any experience with animals?
For
like
Christ's
this?
Sakes!
Don't ever drive through the Keys. I'll tell you that much.
What, pelicans or?
No, roosters.
Roosters
cocks running about.
Craig's used to that.
No, everyone's got roosters down in the Keys, and they just dart out in front of you.
Why?
Walking, riding your bicycle, or driving a car.
Why do they have roosters?
I don't know. Why does
Hemingway have roosters, and that's why?
We have them in my neighborhood, and I'm in the middle of urban downtown Long Beach.
Hmm.
I mean, Zach, do you have that where your neighbors are raising chickens?
Yeah, I mean, they don't just run around. I mean, they're in coops.
Mm-hmm. I actually put some pictures up because there was a chick that I found in the alley, I don't know, about 2 months ago.
You're picking up chicks, Michelle?
Story. There's this chick I found in the alley.
Sorry. Ding, ding, ding. That was good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, no. It was a real chicken chick.
Oh. Okay. Did you name it and add it to your family?
It was delicious.
I did because my dogs would have eaten it. But I put the picture on Twitter, and I actually had some people identify what kind of chicken it was.
What kind was it? San Fernando it Red or something? Whatever.
It was a rock something or another. I can't remember now. But, yeah.
Did you sex the chicken?
Did I sex the chick?
Yes.
No.
Where's the porn music?
Find it, Ben. He probably didn't load it in the queue. That's fine. Yeah, I guess that's like a real job. When chicks hatch, they have to like sex them. They can sort They can find. They can get more money for the lady chickens. They make eggs. You know.
Or that cougar's getting way too close to that chick.
You know, every morning I listen to Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. It's an LA radio show. And the funniest thing about the show is the traffic report, because every morning there's like some sort of building material or piece of a car in the road. It's really random stuff. It's like there are three ladders in the left-hand lane of whatever, you know, and it's every day. I mean, I swear to God, the Department of Transportation could have built a new facility out of the shit that falls off of cars out there. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Just going to say.
So, Michelle, would you do some on-site reporting for us?
Absolutely.
Go up to Glendale. That's your homework for next week. And go up to Glendale Street and look for that chicken running around.
And try to catch the chicken?
Or whatever, or just get a photo, whatever. I mean, tell us what's going on. Give us a vibe, what's happening on the street, what the word is.
Craig, you should send her the roundabout credit card so she can rent a helicopter with sonar imaging.
Yeah, let me get right on that. Send her the roundabout credit card. Mm-hmm. It's a good idea. Anyway.
Don't look at the chat, whatever you do.
Why? What did you post in there?
I didn't. I'm just laughing.
Yep. Of course, now that you said that, I want, you know, to ask him.
I know. It hurts so bad. I want to ask.
Here I am.
Craig, what would you do if you got your hands around that chicken?
Well, I'd probably strangle it.
Yeah, you'd strangle it?
Yep.
Or would you choke it?
Same thing.
Vastly different.
Before we get bogged down anymore, let's take a peek at what we've had in the garage this week. How about that? Good idea, me. And this week we have a very special installment of In the Garage. We have breaking news to report. Zach has actually driven something, and I think we need to give him a hearty round of roundabout applause.
Golf claps. Golf
that
claps.
As hearty as this show gets right there.
Yeah, that is hearty.
Yeah.
So tell us, what you got your credentials back? You gave someone a What happened?
Oh, what was that, Craig?
He doesn't know how it goes.
You went to a dealership? I don't know.
He just knows there's supposed to be some innuendo there somewhere.
I don't want to labor the point. Just
No, I was, you know, the rotation started up again for spring, and hey, it's a little early, but that's okay. And I got a call on, I guess, Monday that let me know I would be getting the 2010 Subaru WRX STI.
Hey! And
that is quite the car. It's a lot of fun.
Tell us about it. How much horsepower she got under the hood? And
oh, that's a good question. I think we're at a little bit over 300.
I think it's 305, if I believe.
I think that's
sounds right.
I think that's
just
right.
Just like your Mazda speed.
No, I was mistaken with the torque figure on that car.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of torque, it's about the same torque-wise, right? They're pretty close horsepower and torque.
That's pretty good.
Excellent 6-speed manual transmission. That's between the transmission and the brakes, my two favorite things about this car, especially driving. You know, we own a Forester, an 04 Forester, and the transmission is pretty bad in that car. Like, it's just... It's pretty
clunky.
Vague. Yeah, it's very clunky. It's pretty vague. But the 6-speed is good. I mean,
it's like
comparison.
A bolt-action rifle?
Yeah, I mean, it just... I mean, when you... Whatever gear you want, it's just... It's right there, and it goes for it really quick. Likewise, the brakes. I think it's got 4 pistons up front and single pistons in the rear. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they really come down quick. It's good. I mean, They cut a lot of weight out of the car, so it's noisy. It's considerably noisy, especially on interstate speeds.
You probably get a lot of that boxer tractor noise.
Yeah, especially when you start it up. I mean, it's an interesting car because it really it only becomes itself at above like 4,000 RPM. I mean, below that you wouldn't know that you were driving anything special.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the clutch is really soft. It drives like a normal little Econo box and
rattle,
you know,
trap.
Once the turbos come alive, you know, you're in for a different world. It's something else.
Yeah. Does it still, like, the last Subaru I drove was, I don't know, last year, say August or something. It's been a while. And every time I'd started it, it's the starter made a horrible sound. Just like the electric motor that is the starter was like dying or something. It was like choo, choo, choo. And then the engine would start. Is that something they all do?
No.
Okay.
This one does not do it.
Okay.
I mean, it's got its issues. I mean, I think as built, this one's got the 18-inch BBS wheels and the navigation and the satellite radio.
Yeah.
And I think all that stuff puts it at a little above 40,000. I think it's like 40,006 or something.
Is it worth that much?
It depends on how you look at the car. I mean, when you're riding around in it, it's noisy and things rattle. I mean, this car's got 5,000 miles on it, and there's a rattle in the back hatch. I mean, it's been cold this week, but you know, so things contract and you know, squeak and stuff like that. But
that's no excuse.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly where I'm going. I mean,
rock solid after 120,000 miles. So
and your Focus didn't cost $40,000.
No, it's not.
I mean, even the dead pedal, if you really push on the dead pedal, it gives you a little squeak and it moves a little bit, you know? And that's just stuff at this price point you really should not run into. But I mean, performance-wise, I mean, this car is on par with vehicles costing $50,000 and I would say even $60,000.
So maybe an M3?
I would say probably an M3.
S4?
I would say around a track, it would probably give even the new Corvette a run for its money.
Wow, it's pretty impressive.
It's just the thing is, I mean, even though it only has 305 horsepower, you can use all that horsepower all the time.
Yep.
I mean, you know, mid corner, you romp on it, and it will take off with you. I mean, you'll get a little bit of sideways action, but you know, all four wheels are pulling. It's something else.
Yeah. How is the acceleration just in a straight line? Like, oh my God, this is nuts, or is it just really fast? I mean, how would you describe that?
I mean, it's not gonna. I mean, your head's not gonna explode. But I mean, it'll. I don't know. I guess as someone who drives fast cars, you know, it's not gonna blow your mind. But mm-hmm. I mean, if you put somebody in the passenger seat who's not expecting it. Yeah, it's going to surprise them. I mean, especially at about 3,500 RPM and above, I mean, the car just continues to pull. It's got a pretty neat little shift light that beeps at you when you're approaching red line, which is a pretty good thing because, I mean, the car feels like it would continue to pull until it popped. So.
Okay. What's the red line on it? How high does it go?
That's a good question. I think it's like right at 6.
So it's not really that high strung. That's a pretty low red line. But of course you've got the turbo blowing air into the engine, so you don't need to spin it up very high.
Right.
Is it a programmable shift light, Zach?
I'm not certain. I actually haven't played around with it that much. I haven't had a whole lot of chance to drive the car, believe it or not. But if this freaking storm lays off, I was hoping to get some driving in this weekend.
You've got all wheel drive. It'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly, right?
And probably racing slicks on it.
Yeah, Dunlop Summer Performance tires, which is the best for dashing through the snow. So,
a quick question about the rattles and the squeaks. Now, you own a Subaru Forester.
I do.
Or is it an Outback? I can't remember. Forester, no, whatever.
It's a Forester.
Does that rattle? I mean, of course, that has a lot more miles on it.
Yeah, ours has about 100,000 miles on it. And it's not really bad. I mean, I don't know. It's loud. I mean, that's the biggest thing I notice. The difference between the Forester, which is based on the WRX platform, and the Outback is significant. I mean, the Outback is a much quieter, much more solid feeling vehicle. I think part of that's due to its long wheelbase and the extra sound deadening that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the one big rattle that bothers the crap out of me is that if you're really cranking on the stereo. The subwoofer, it's got a 7 or like a 6.1 system or something factory, and the subwoofer will squeak in the back cargo area, and it drives me up the wall.
Yeah, I am very sensitive to squeaks and rattles like that, and there, you know, you get a nice car and then something just makes noise, you know, and there's no way to stop it. It's inside the dashboard.
Right.
Somebody dropped peanuts in there or whatever, who knows, and it's driving you nuts. It's
which is a shame, because I mean, otherwise it seems like Subaru makes a really solid product. You know, they seem to be reliable and they go forever. They don't get the greatest fuel economy, but you know, they're distinctive, and their all-wheel drive systems don't really have any issues, so
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, cool, and I'm glad you got back in the press fleet, Zach. It's been
Me
a long
too.
Time. We've been relentlessly hounding you. But
it's all right. I can take it.
Glad you're back. Glad you're back.
Me too. Thanks.
All right, cool. And with that, it's time for our stupid car trick of the week. Go on, boy. Go get it. Come on now. Okay, for our stupid car trick this week, Zach, if I remember correctly, you found this article. It's on Autoblog. And we have what looks like a pickup truck, a Chevy Silverado, and looks like the people did some stuff to it.
Yeah, it was a truck built by, I'm fairly certain it was built by 8 Lug Magazine, and these guys are all about big diesel, you know, heavy-duty work trucks, and they built it for SEMA, and I think it's like a Chevy Silverado, I think it's like a 3500 or something like that. I think it originally started life as a dually. Mm-hmm. And they managed to drop around $350,000 into it.
Oh, that's all. Okay.
So it looks like essentially a road-going monster truck. You know, it just has these huge, ridiculous tires and two shocks on, you know, each wheel, essentially. So you're looking at 8 shocks total. So you would think this thing would just be able to do anything, and not the case. You watch the video, and there's a small jump. I mean, this jump is like, I don't know, maybe 3 feet tall, and it goes over the jump. But how fast would you say that thing's going? Like maybe 40 miles an hour, maybe? And the
probably
shock,
not even.
The shock perch, all the shock perches on the passenger side shatter. The body falls down on the tires, and it skids to a stop.
That's sad trombone, Zach.
That's super fail is what that is. Oh, it makes me so happy, though.
Though them guys are engineers there.
Yeah, I'm looking at this jump, and I'm like, you know, I'm pretty sure the scout
is that
can
a jump
that.
Or just like something on Michigan roads that we drive through every day?
I mean, speed bump.
It's tree roots.
It is, yeah. Pretty funny.
Sad. Okay, here it is on the video screen. The guy is accelerating. He's going. He's doing maybe 30. I don't think he's doing 40, Zach. That's pretty darn slow. But he hits this berm, this little something a kid made in a sandbox, basically. It's maybe a couple feet, 2 feet high at most, I would guess.
Yeah, I think when I was a kid, I've jumped bicycles off taller jumps.
Seriously. And he hits the jump, he goes over it, and then just the passenger side collapses. It's like they designed it that way, like a movie prop or something.
And you can just you can feel the disappointment in the video.
Yes,
you're
right.
Everybody watching is like, "Aw."
Yep. It's like that just happened. Wow.
So what they did when they installed these shocks, they mounted both shocks to a single perch. So they didn't engineer, you know, individual perches per shock.
Mm-hmm.
So when all that force came down on that single teeny tiny little tab of metal, it just sheared right off on both sides. And, you know, the rest is history.
Shit don't work.
That's right. Shit don't work.
Yep. So don't try that at home because it'll probably break as well, right?
But the truck looks significantly cooler when it's squished down on the tires. Like,
well,
that.
It's a lowrider now. You guys have those out in SoCal, don't you, Michelle?
It's a lowrider riding on 40s.
That's right.
Oh, God. Well, I think it's the moment you guys have all been waiting for. Another installment of Auto Gadget. And what we've got this week for Auto Gadget is something kind of interesting. We found this on a site, device.com, and I believe it's a Canadian company. Yes, Eureka Aerospace is working on an electromagnetic pulse gun. And what the idea behind it is that you can mount it on a helicopter or put it on a police car, just make like a handgun type thing where police officers can point it at your car, pull the trigger, and it shoots out this EMP, electromagnetic pulse, and that basically fries all the electronics in your car so that it stops. It's a deterrent for high-speed chases. So I thought that was kind of Star Wars and kind of cool, you know?
High-speed chases in Iowa, apparently.
Yeah.
That's right. Kia Monte.
Mm-hmm. That's a Hyundai. Look at the horrible Photoshop job, too, Ben.
That's terrible. Are there high speed chases in the rest of the country like there are here?
mean, they're, yeah, I assume so.
No, but they don't cover him the same, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they interrupt anything, including Oprah. Oh, my God. They'll interrupt anything to show a high-speed chase.
Well, OJ did it, so everybody else
OJ did it.
Since then, it's become this, it's like a pastime in this state. It's ridiculous.
But yeah, the idea is they can shoot this at a car and have it fry the circuitry and it'll stop. But that's kind of scary. If you had like a pistol version of this, you could just walk around aiming at stuff and shooting and just destroy everything. Could you imagine
frying people's iPads?
Yeah,
good way for dealerships to make money.
Yeah. Oh, another
just
circuit board.
The mall parking lot.
Zap, zap.
Imagine you're in your car. You've got your laptop. You've got your cell phone. Your 1980s style digital watch with the calculator on it. You're driving along and somebody zaps you. Everything's ruined. That's terrible. You know?
You know the solution to this, Craig.
What's
right?
That? Armor plating?
A flathead V8.
Oh, good call, yeah. Zach. Good call. I know. That's
use a little rat rod action with a little,
hell
little
yeah.
Flathead V8. You just keep cruising along.
That's my answer to
most questions.
Well, yeah, that and like if we ever have Armageddon or something or a big economic collapse, I can drive the flathead V8 on corn liquor or something, make in the backyard.
So yeah. That's why they were in Iowa.
Yeah, lots of corn. You see all the corn along the road there? And that horrible Hyundai? I can't believe how bad that is. The one wheel is like half-sized. It's like maybe it's on a spare.
I think it's turning.
It's got sound effects. This picture has it's rich, this picture. It's deep. It has sound effects without having to make a sound.
What is the sound effect, Michelle? Sad trombone?
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow. Just
what I can't
wow.
get is that they couldn't find like a picture of a car on a road. Like they had
they couldn't
to crop
just
in.
Make one?
Yeah.
Hey guys, just drive down down the street with the car and I'll take a picture of you.
No,
so comfortable right now. Let's just Photoshop it.
No, they didn't Photoshop it. They used paint. Or they ripped it out of a magazine, I think. Something. It's terrible.
It's a collage.
Yeah.
Forget the EMP. I just want a gun that shoots that pink beam at stuff.
A pink flashlight?
Wow. Have to make that noise, though.
Wow.
Wow.
So, yeah. Electromagnetic pulse cannon. Watch your six. The police may have that in the future. And with that, let's move along to our next segment.
Highway hearsay. Tales from the open road.
Highway hearsay is all about what we've seen out on the road, from weird sightings to the stupid things people do. Now, I had two highway hearsays this week. The first one is not much to report, but I thought it was interesting. And the second one was a new vehicle sighting. So, Ben, we'll start off with the first one if you want to throw that number one photo up. My car ran out of washer fluid the other day, so I went to fill the reservoir, and I was just looking at it in the garage, shaking my head, because the poor Focus is supposed to be black, but in the photo you can see it looks gray. And that's a consequence of driving in Michigan in the wintertime. Salt on the roads. So I stood there for a minute just staring at my car because it's just, it looks horrible. And it's just completely covered in this salt scum. It's like the walls of a shower in the YMCA or something. You can just see this filth build up everywhere. I thought that was amazing how bad it looked. So I thought I'd share it with everybody.
You know they have a fix for this? It's called washing your car.
I'm not familiar. I'm not familiar.
Well, you see, Jeff, some of us live in parts of the country where it's not 60 degrees all year.
Yes.
No. Even when I lived in Michigan, I washed my car once a week in the wintertime. You had to, or it would be rusted out by spring.
Yeah, that's what we do with the Forester. There's a sweet little touchless down here. You just run it through.
Well, I always went to the little quarter car wash at 9 Mile in Livernois.
Livernois. So yeah, well, there you go.
Eight views on the pictures so far, Craig.
What
so,
happened? What?
You've had 8 views on that picture so far. People really care about your
Well, there's 12 people in the,
hot.
In the chat right now.
Hey, 12. That's a dozen.
That means some of your viewers aren't looking at your car.
I don't blame them. There's nothing to see.
Yep, there's some salt on that focus. Sure enough.
I'm trying to cure it, you know, so it'll keep for the winter.
It's like jerky.
Yes, exactly. It's my recipe. Just drive it and not wash it.
Focus jerky?
Focus jerky. I'm trying to dehydrate it, get it to shrink a little bit. It is cold out, so it's already pretty small, but, you know.
Into a fiesta?
Yeah, that's it.
Nobody wants to hear your excuses, Greg.
I know, Zach. I'm very sad inside, and you just reinforce that for me every week. Thank you.
I do it.
Thank you.
Do it again.
That's why I drink so much. You guys think this is water right here. It's not. It's Stoli. All right,
give us
Ben.
Give us that sultry look again.
I can't. That's a one-time thing, Jeff. Oh. I'm sorry. Sorry. Can't do it. All right, Ben, what's our next one?
This one.
We'll show
whatever
it,
it is.
You showing it?
I'm showing it.
All right, there it is. Had to wait for the internet to catch up. It's a little slow. But anyway, I was coming to work the other day, if you can believe that. And I'm driving on Square Lake Road, if any of you live in Michigan. Square Lake between Telegraph and Woodward. I see this heavily camouflaged vehicle, and I believe it's the next generation Ford Explorer. Now, in the photo, first photo that's shown here, you can see the wheel, and you can't see it in the picture, but there was a Ford logo in the middle, in the center cap. And if Ben will throw up the next photo. Yes. Ben's bulimic. He's really good at throwing up. You can see more cladding and stuff. So I think it's the Explorer. You guys have any insight?
That would make sense.
Doesn't look like an insight. I think it's an Explorer.
From what I understand, that's probably it, because I know someone doing brake testing on them right now, and it's kind of a behemoth.
Is it?
Yeah. Look at that. The badonkadonk on that thing.
I don't understand Ford's reasoning for making two cars similarly sized off the same platform like that.
There is no reasoning.
I mean, like Toyota and Nissan, they have like their crossovers and their SUVs separate, but yeah, I don't know why Ford's going away from the full frame SUV for this thing.
Well, I think they're probably trying to relive the glory days of the Explorer when they'd sell like 400,000 a year in the 90s. I think
is
they're nostalgic
call Zach
for that.
Back?
Did Zach die again? Yes, he did.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ah.
Welcome back.
Uh-huh.
Meow.
Shmee. Alky Meowmers.
Did you just say meow?
Shmee.
Yeah. Meow, what are you talking about?
Meow. Zach.
Meow button, I had enough of this.
Meow.
Where's my bell, Ben? That's a pop culture
Seriously.
Reference.
That's a good one, too. That's worth
ding,
having.
Ding, ding, ding. Thank you.
Craig Cole's pop culture moment.
You're in both of them. Now I'm proud of myself. So, yeah, could be the Explorer. I would guess it's going to be shown at Chicago because they're building it in Chicago with the Taurus and the Lincoln MKS. But we shall see.
It's coming out.
That's yeah, like when is the Chicago show? Do you guys know? It's shortly.
It's the second week of February. I know because I'm supposed to be there, but I'm going to be in California instead. Huh.
What are you doing in California?
Well,
visiting your favorite cougar?
No.
Oh. Hey, excuse me?
He doesn't want to visit you, Michelle.
That is not what I said. That's just not what I'm doing.
Well, it's the way you said it that said everything.
No.
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 My feelings are so hurt.
Oh, I'm sorry, Michelle. No, I will be covering the King of the Hammers race in, I think it's Johnson Valley, California. It's this 100-mile off-road race. It looks pretty awesome.
Hmm. That's not in Morocco by chance, is it?
No.
Because that's where Michelle's going.
Yeah, I'm not covering King of the Hammers yet. I think, Josh Hall will be racing one of the Hummers there.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully I'll be at Daytona.
Oh, you'll be seeing some of my dad's signs.
Hmm. He makes signs, doesn't he?
He does.
Go Junior!
Not those kind of signs. He's a structural engineer. He built the Sunoco signs.
That takes an engineering degree?
No, actually. He didn't go to college, jackass.
Well, there you go. The more you know, Ben. Doon, 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 doon. Oh. All right, guys, I think with that, it's just about last call for this episode. It's getting late, and I don't...
Oh.
It's getting late.
You waited all day to say that.
Yes, I have.
We should just keep messing about it.
Getting out of my back pocket, Michelle. Got to hold on to it.
He got up this morning, and that was the first thing in his mind.
It's like a dove. I let that idea go, and it soars to the heights, you know?
To the heights of the train station, sounds like.
You can hear that?
Yes, I can hear that.
Yes, our studio is, what would you say, Ben, 20 paces from a rail line? You walk out the door and it's about, 20 paces. You can get run over by the CNR or whatever it is. CN
CSX.
Railway. Yeah, CSX, close enough. But anyway, guys, it's getting late and I don't want to miss another episode of Judge Wapner, so I think we'd best wrap things up here.
So get that girl's number on the napkin.
On the napkin?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
This is what it's like when you actually go to a bar, Craig.
Oh.
You get a girl's number?
Well, they don't usually talk to me, Zach, so sorry. I don't know these things.
Go to the Bronco Lounge.
The Bronco Lounge.
Somebody will talk to you.
In Dearborn.
Oh, they'll take your money, too, for other things, I'm sure. But... anyway,
when was the last time you were in a bar, Craig? Seriously. Was it when I was there?
Probably. I don't know.
She's laughing at you.
Thank you, Ben, for that play-by-play.
Oh, sorry.
You sure know how to make people feel good about themselves, Michelle. Thank you. Zach, our good friend Zach Bowman from blog.webridestv.com, green-racer.com, and plenty of other places on the internet. Thank you for joining us again. Technical difficulties and all. Man, thanks for hanging in there.
Sure thing, man.
And more importantly, thank you for getting back in the media fleet again.
I know, it's like I'm a real boy again.
Hey, you've earned it. You have earned it. Got your wings now. And, of course, we can't forget about Jeff Ross, our good friend from autotropolis.com. Isn't that right?
At your service.
At your service. You working on anything exciting coming up here shortly?
I just did a comparison review between a Lancer Sportback and a Mazda Speed 3. That was pretty fun.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to check that out. And Michelle.
C.
Honda Civic C.
Sprechen de Honda.
Sprechen de Spanish.
Sprechen de Spanish.
Look at that clip from last week.
You what?
Look at that clip. Let's now see. You can kiss yourself kissing Michelle. It could be a three-way.
A three-way with yourself?
How is that possible? Is there a mirror or something?
It hurts my mind and my eyes at the same time.
Well, it'd be possible if you could travel back in time, wouldn't it, Ben?
There was a book about that, actually, strangely enough.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
The Time Traveler's Wife.
Ah.
There you go.
Okay. What was the book about?
Well, it was about a guy who suffers from chronological displacement, so he just randomly zaps back and forth in time, but within his own life.
Okay.
Yeah.
The book is awesome. The movie's terrible.
That's true. I haven't seen the movie, but it looked
well. Isn't every movie that's based on a book terrible?
Not necessarily.
Not
the book
always.
Was much better. what people always say. Okay. But anyway, Michelle, MissMotormouth.com.
Yes.
Yes. Anything exciting in your life happening right now? Besides this podcast.
God, no. I'm kind of... We're still waiting to find out if I'm going to Morocco for sure or not. I'm building an iPhone application for the Gazelle's Race, which is kind of fun to be working on. And cool. Applying for jobs. So I probably shouldn't be talking about choking chickens.
No, probably not. Just don't put Roundabout on your resume.
Oh. I don't know those assholes. Are you kidding me?
What?
Disgusting.
They're horrible. Miscreants.
Horrible.
And lastly, Ben, thank you for your technical expertise.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
That one never gets old. Oh, Ben, your stuff can be found on Autoline and, of course, roundaboutshow.com. So check it out. In closing, we've got some important news updates to talk about. Our Mario Kart tournament that we were trying to set up. We've picked a date for that. Haven't we, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
It's going to be next weekend, Saturday. That's February the 6th, starting at 8 p.m. Right, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
And now you had some pretty specific instructions for our listeners. What, do you mind bringing them up to speed on the plan?
I thought I told you to do that.
Well, I'm throwing it to you.
Well, that's great. Yeah, you can go to our website right now, roundaboutshow.com, and you'll find a sign-up form for Mario Kart. Like Craig said, we're doing it on Saturday, February 6th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. You'll need to take down our Wii number and enter it into your system, and we'll need your number. Indeed. So fill out the form, give us your name, location if you want to, email so we can remind you of the meetup. Social security number. And your Wii number.
Blood type.
Actually, it's not your Wii number. It's your... Because this is confusing. There's a Wii number, and then there's a Mario Kart Wii number, and we need your Mario Kart Wii number. It's a 12-digit number. You go into the game to find it. If you've done this online stuff before with friends, you already know what I'm talking about. But we need that, so...
We do.
Put it in the form, and... We'll get ready for next Saturday. It'll be fun.
I think this is just an excuse for Craig to go home and say he got someone's digits.
I hate you guys. I really do.
It's also worth noting that during the game next Saturday, we're going to all get on a live phone call so we can trash talk each other. I've got a phone number there you can jot down where you're going to use a service called Twalkin'.
Christopher Twalkin.
There's a link you can go to for the phone number and some other details, or you can just call 218-548-9255 and enter PIN 1727. 218-548-9255, PIN 1727. So have your Bluetooth headset or headphones ready. And it's going to be a wild time.
Now, what if some of our listeners have Xboxes? Can they play?
No. I'm glad you asked that. Because some people might think they can.
Just set it and forget it.
That's right, Zach. Wait.
That was not me.
Sorry, Jeff.
No problem. Yeah.
All right. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week, including links and show notes. We've got lots of good content on there. And while you're on the site, make sure you swing by the Roundabout Emporium. Please, somebody buy something. Just click on the link in the sidebar. It's got a little dollar sign there, a little scamp. You just click on that, takes you to a site called Cafe Press. You can buy all kinds of Roundabout branded goods, stickers, beer steins, shirts, all that great Roundabout stuff. You can make it your own and really be a part of the brand, you know? So check that out. I highly recommend it. You can follow us on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/roundaboutshow. You can give us a follow there. And we're also on Facebook. We've got a Facebook fan page. Just search for us. And, you know, you can join or whatever you want to do. I don't know.
Whatever it is you do, do.
None of this matters, Ben. None of this freaking matters.
We Facebook done yet.
Me. What?
Facebook me. Isn't that what you're supposed to say? Facebook me.
Sounds like a bird. Facebook me.
No. That's what they say in the bars, right? That's what the girls say. They go like, oh, Facebook me. Facebook.
So I'll never talk to you ever again.
I don't
say that. It's much easier to reject a friend request than give a bad phone number, I guess, these days.
That's right.
Yeah. And, oh, Ben, you know, people can contact us, too.
That's right, Craig.
Did you know that?
I guess.
So if you've got suggestions for things you'd like to see on the show, or if you'd like to send us links to news stories that we can run, we'll take them. Please send us stuff. Mud Monster frequently does, and of course Luke does, and he sent us a link to some of his drawings that he's done. Very talented artist, by the way. Looks like he's using, I would guess, charcoal. I don't know, but he's got a whole page of drawings. A lot of Mustangs on here, so check that out. We'll have the link in the show notes later. A lot of nice stuff. Looks like a real Mustang fan, which is a good thing since you drive one, Luke. but anyway, if you never want to miss an episode of Roundabout, you know, you can subscribe to us, to the podcast. Just search for it in the iTunes store or on the Zune Marketplace, and you'll never miss a beat. And who would want to miss this? This is... We are all such close friends with such good rapport, you know.
Sorry.
We lost Zach again.
Oh. I think he left.
I think outro killed him.
Well, we'll go ahead and terminate this one, Ben, all right?
I think you need to abort this podcast. No offense.
Yeah.
Egress.
Anyway, what? What's that, Michelle?
Egress.
Negress.
More partial birthday. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We will talk to you then.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Who did the thank you?
Mr. Mud Monster.
I wonder what that means.
Chin stroke.
You had a stroke?
Yes, Craig.
Did the left side of your body go limp?
Yes, Craig.
Yes, Craig. That's all we can say, isn't it?
Just start placating.
You can follow us on Twitter, right, Ben? Yes, Craig.
Jeff, Michelle, did you guys drive anything for in the garage?
No, and I can't open the driver door on my Z3.
Does
why?
It need lube?
Lube.
The windows.
It needs lube. Are we going to start having lube chat now?
Well, oh, God. Well, Kathy, now that you asked.
Don't give him ideas.
Shut up, Henry.
What about
Henry goes, ooh.
Today on Cat Chat with Michelle Naranjo.
Is that how you say her last name? Well...
All right, then Jeff, kick it off.
Please tell me Jeff's not here. That would be fantastic.
Oh, for crying out loud. What happened?
Probably muted
Where
himself.
Where is he? He's not.
I'm here.
What happened? Did you go mute for a second?
No, my thing got unplugged. I could hear you guys, but... All right. Sweaty balls.
I don't think there's ever been a production that's had more software and hardware related problems than Roundabout. Okay.
The Toyota of podcasts.
Let's go.
Yeah. Zach, you spelled my name wrong, you ass.
Did I?
Aww.
Zach?
Hello?
Connection lost.
Oh, lost.
Zach, come back.
Zach.
Oh, man.
Oh.